Once elected, a politician is to work with colleagues to design policy to help government operate efficiently and serve the people. Since legislators represent different geographical areas of people, they often have to compromise. That's where moderates are key. They are not as steeped in political ideology as hardliners, and they're willing to find common ground that leads to compromise. These days, that sounds rather quaint. Moderates are rare animals. Joining us to talk about that are Ken Sikkema. He's Senior Policy Fellow at Public Sector Consultants and former Republican State Senate Majority Leader. And Jack Lessenberry, Michigan Radio's political analyst. So nearly 20 years ago, fellas, I produced a piece hearing from former U.S. senators about moderates leaving or losing their seats. Since then, that trend has become even more obvious. Ken Sikkema, are there moderates still making a difference in Lansing or in Washington?
Well, I think there are. They probably don't want to call themselves moderates for fear of inviting a primary just by saying that, but I guess I would almost have to call them closet moderates. They are, I think, somewhat paralyzed or fearful of this new Tea Party influence in the Republican Party, at least. But they understand that governing is different than campaigning, and the nuances of governing at the state or national level demand compromise in order to get much done these days.
Jack, I see this political polarization, and I'm wondering, is it just a matter of politics, or is this a reflection of society at large?
Well, it's hard for me to say. I don't know if anyone could really say if it's a reflection of society at large, but Senator Sikkema is certainly right, and there's a couple other factors. One, of course, is term limits. It's interesting, it's an odd person to quote in this context, but the new Pope Francis, the other day said that when, in a long interview, that when he was 36 years old and first became a bishop, he was too authoritarian, he was too doctrinaire, and he became more moderate as he got older. And I think that happened. I've certainly seen that. I'm sure the senator's seen it even more with people in the legislature and people in Congress, but now they can't stay as long as they used to. And also, what the senator alluded to, gerrymandering, means that so few of the legislators are in swing districts, and for them, the only real election is in the primary.
Yeah, I want to talk about that because, you know, we've had redistricting and or gerrymandering, concentrating party power. That's been around since the founding of the Republic. Has that had a greater role in political divide in recent decades? And if so, how? Is it because of computerization or what's the deal? Ken?
Well, a couple of thoughts. One is I do think the country is polarized today. The country is, and I think the electorate is. I also think that term limits has played a role, at least in Michigan, in terms of the polarization of the parties because, and I can only speak through experience about the Republican Party, but what happens with term limits is you have more frequent elections. You can only serve 6 years in the House, and primaries tend to elect the more conservative members of the Republican Party in the caucus. So I think term limits in Michigan is actually sort of resulting in a more polarized legislature.
I guess it's because they lose that experience of having to deal with long-term issues because at most they're going to be in 6 or 8 years.
Well, it's just that after 6 years in the House or 8 years in the Senate, there's a new election. And so in these districts that are not swing districts that are just going to be Republican, you're going to tend to elect more conservative members over a period of time. And I speak from some experience. When I was first elected in 1986, there were five new freshman Republicans, I being one, and I was pro-life, but three of them were actually pro-choice. Well, you can't get elected in a Republican primary today if you're pro-choice.
Are we seeing, Jack, the Democrats move as far left as the Republicans seem to have moved far right?
No, I don't think so. It's sort of odd. You know, Will Rogers said he was a member of no organized party. He was a Democrat. The Democratic Party has always been collections of different constituencies. I mean, there's certainly the minority constituencies, the African-Americans in Detroit. They're sort of what you used to call the more limousine liberal types, academic types, people in places like Ann Arbor and East Lansing. And I don't know that they've really changed that much. The Democratic Party certainly moved back towards the center about the time of Bill Clinton after being clobbered repeatedly in the 1980s. But since the Democrats are in the minority position, especially in the state Senate, I don't think there are enough of them, and they're not governing, so we really can't make that many observations about them. Although I'm not sure, I agree with everything Senator Sikkema said, except about I'm not sure that the country is more polarized. We talk that way. people who shout the loudest seem to be. But when you look at election patterns, you know, there's an old conservative economist named Jude Winiski, and he said the thing is that the voters want chicken, and you have one party offering them goose and the other duck. They have to figure out which is more like chicken. But if you see, if you look at like the last presidential election, elections for Congress, people seem to be pretty closely to evenly divided.
I wonder how much the left-leaning MSNBC and the right-leaning Fox News, as well as the explosion of political talk radio over the last couple of decades, have influenced political polarization and my argument is the demise of the moderate politician.
Well, I think the sort of polarization of the media, as you described it, certainly doesn't help. You know, people tend to watch a certain show or a certain network and can sort of reinforce their own beliefs. I think from my standpoint, if you look at the Republican Party, and a lot of the challenges are in that party because of the Tea Party influence, but the Republican Party has always had tension between the more conservative element and then everybody else. But everybody sort of tolerated everybody else. And I think what's new today is the notion that if you're not with me 100% of the time on every single issue, big and small, you don't have the right to call yourself a Republican. That's what's new in the Republican Party today, this inability to recognize that just because somebody doesn't agree with you on every single issue, you can still be a Republican. And I think that's the phenomenon that's different than it used to be.
Jack, do you think media have had any influence on this disappearance of the moderate?
Well, I definitely do, and I think that it's a turning away from news and a balanced approach. Now, doing news is expensive, and it's hard, and it takes a long time. It's relatively cheap for the networks to put a conservative and a liberal in two chairs and have them yell and throw food at each other. That's very entertaining, and it generates a lot of heat, but nobody's going to learn anything. So, sure, and I think we ought to try to get ourselves out of our comfort zones. But liberals ought to watch Fox more, and conservatives should watch MSNBC or you know, whatever else. But we sort of had the disappearance of the standard good old attempt at being balanced news show, and I think that has sort of hurt things.
Ken, you talked about, you know, what does it take these days to be called a Republican? We've all heard the Republican Party, Tea Party faction, and then those they call RINOs, Republicans in name only. Are we creating a situation here described as a circular firing squad? Is it really hurting the Republican Party that much?
Oh, absolutely it's hurting the Republican Party. And your description of the firing squad organized in a circle is an accurate and apt one. In fact, years ago, Republicans used to describe Democratic primaries that way, but now it's a way to describe Republican primaries. But yes, I do think it hurts the party. I think the loss of diversity, at some point, you pay the price politically. Now, gerrymandering, I think, and the ability to draw these legislative lines that Republicans had after the 2010 election, not only in Michigan, but nationally primarily, in most states, I mean, has somewhat insulated the party from this loss of diversity. But I think over time we're going to pay a price for it.
I want to talk about, because we brought up term limits, we brought up some of these other things, but the thing we keep going back to is redistricting. And there are some states like Iowa that attempt to take politics out of redistricting. Do you think that could work in Michigan?
I'm not a fan of that at all. It's been tried in a limited number of states. I haven't been impressed with the results. I don't really think it's going to make that much of a difference. I know there are people who are going to disagree with me. I'd be interested in Jack's thought about it. But
well, you know, I believe that Ken is about 1 month older than me, and so, you know, he's an old cynic, and I'm a young, fresh-faced idealist. I agree that some of these things haven't worked, but it seems to me you could come up with a way of having a somewhat balanced or a fairly balanced way of apportioning that, you know, it might be 55-45, but it wouldn't be the sort of bizarre sort of all-or-nothing thing we had. Now, in the old days, a lot of redistricting was done to protect incumbents rather than partisanship. Some partisanship, but mainly incumbents. But I think we could come up with a better system than we have now, and if we put some good minds to it, involved some demographers, I think we could probably do better.
That's Jack Lessenberry. He's Michigan Radio's political analyst. We've also been hearing from Ken Sekema. He's senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and former Republican State Senate Majority Leader. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.